Let's open our Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 15. 2 Kings 15. For those of you that take notes, if you're interested in knowing this, the cross-reference to what we're going to be studying tonight is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 1 through 23. And we'll actually be referring quite a bit to that because that's where the majority of the information for our message tonight comes from. But we're going to read for our text, 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. And let's read those verses together. In the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done, save that the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burnt incense still on the high places. And the Lord smote the king, so that he was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house. And Jotham, the king's son, was over the house, judging the people of the land. And the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead. Let's bow for prayer together. Father, thank you for a refreshing Lord's Day. Thank you for the beautiful weather that we're enjoying, and just for a quiet, calm evening to be able to come to your house, to meet with your people, to worship you, and again, to study your word and just to draw closer to you. Lord, we thank you so much that you do give us hope, Lord, and we thank you that hope will continue to endure, Lord, for as long as this life continues, as long until we see you face to face when that hope is brought to full fruition. And we do pray for Susanna and for others within our church family that are away from you. We pray that even now as we pray, Lord, that you would just touch their heart, bring to their remembrance the things that they've heard and been taught all along the way, and just draw them to you. We'll thank you for that. Again, thank you for lifting us up when we need it, Lord, and we just praise you for your interest in our lives. We ask that you would bless our study of your word tonight. Lord, I ask for the help and quickening of your spirit to be able to communicate your word in a way that we can understand it easily and apply it to our lives. May you, Lord, be glorified tonight, and I pray that you would build up your people, encourage each and every one of us through your word tonight. Bless our time together throughout the remainder of this Lord's Day. Thank you for it. Thank you for the promise of another week as we look to walk with you each day and just to serve you. Please bless our time in your word now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Humility leads us to depend upon and seek the Lord. And consequently, that moves us in an upward trajectory in life. But in contrast to that, pride leads us to forget God, to become presumptuous and self-sufficient, and that always leads us in a downward spiral. It's not always, but at least in this case, in the life of one man, we see both of those truths exemplified really almost to an extreme. We see a man who at one point in his life is very humble, dependent on the Lord, and he just skyrockets upward. He moves in an upward trajectory like cream rising to the top. But unfortunately, in that same man's life, having started out so well, having depended upon the Lord and gotten help from the Lord, we see him becoming proud, becoming presumptuous, and then ending his life really in shame and dishonor. This is the life of King Azariah, or as he's better known to us, King Uzziah. He is the king of Judah. We considered him in brief last week, but tonight we're going to focus our attention on what took place in this man's life. And our message title is this: Lifted Up and Cast Down. Lifted Up and Cast Down. Or if this makes better sense to us and maybe a little easier application and maybe positive, stay humble and stay hungry. Stay humble and stay hungry. But tonight we're going to see how this man Uzziah was lifted up through humility, only to be later cast down because of pride. And what we learn from this man's example is going to admonish us again to have a humble, hungry soul which seeks God, which depends upon Him, which is yielded to God's will, and to avoid the sin of pride, which again ever leads to downfall and destruction. We want God's blessing and help. We don't want Him to be resisting us. Let's consider four main ideas tonight related to the life and reign of King Uzziah. We'll look at our text, and then we will refer to 2 Chronicles 26, 1 through 23. So here are the thoughts I'd like for us to consider together. First of all, we'll consider the prospering of Uzziah. Secondly, the pride of Uzziah. Thirdly, the plague of Uzziah. And finally, the passing of Uzziah. So let's begin with that thought, the prospering of Uzziah. And I'm not going to reread the text tonight, but if you read verses 1 through 4, you find that overall the reign of Uzziah was marked by prosperity. And as all true prosperity or success comes from the Lord, we find that the prospering of Uzziah was directly connected to his relationship with the Lord. As you read in our text here in verses 1 through 4, Azariah does right in the sight of the Lord. He does have that asterisk, that common exception among the kings of Israel and Judah, that he took no steps to remove the high places of worldly worship. But overall, the man did right in the sight of the Lord. But if we go to 1 Chronicles 26, verses 1 through 14, which I'm not going to, but if you go there, here's what you find. This man Uzziah took some wonderful steps in seeking God, and as a result, he prospered in a very marvelous way. And if you read there, here's what you find. You find that King Uzziah placed himself under the influence of God's word through the prophet Zechariah. Okay, that Zechariah obviously was not the priest whom Joash had killed some years earlier. It's not the second to last of the minor prophets who would live some 300 years later. We don't know much about this man Uzziah, but he was, he was contemporary with Uzziah. But here's what the scripture says. It says of Uzziah that, quote, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So he prospered. All true prosperity comes from the Lord. True prosperity and success comes from the Lord. And so this man's prosperity was directly connected to his relationship with God. And in the days of Zechariah, who gave him instruction through the word of God, Uzziah seeks the Lord. And as long as he does that, he prospers. And we learn here that if we want to prosper in life, if we want to be made strong spiritually and otherwise, we've got to seek the Lord. And how do we seek God? Primarily, as it was in the life of Uzziah, it is through the ministry of the Word of God. He sought God by placing himself under the influence and instruction of the Word of God, and that led to prosperity. And our prosperity is related to our relationship with God, and our relationship with God is largely seen in our relationship with this book. Do you remember what the Lord said to Joshua? He's taking over for Moses, as you know, the Lord says to him, hey, Moses, my servant, is dead. And the people, by the way, didn't see the Lord bury him, and so the Lord had to give him that confirmation. Yes, Moses is actually dead. He's not coming back down from the mount. So Joshua, you're the man. The responsibility falls on you. And here's what he says. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You want to prosper? Seek God. And how do we seek God? We do it through His Word. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Uzziah prospered. He sought God. And he did that by placing himself under the teaching and preaching the instruction of the Word of God. In 3 John verse 2, John said this, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospereth. We are in God's estimation no more prosperous than we are spiritually and in our souls. And I ask you tonight, are you prospering spiritually? Are you seeking God? This man's life and reign, the early part of his life and reign, were marked by prosperity. We're going to look into the details of that, but it was connected to his seeking God. This man's given two names in Scripture. His first name, again, is Azariah. The name Azariah means the Lord has helped. And if you read in the Chronicles, the Scriptures describe it this way, this man was marvelously helped of the Lord. So the Lord helped him. His second name, Uzziah, means the Lord is my strength. And again, the Holy Spirit guiding the inspired chronicler says this, he was marvelously helped till he was strong. So his name means the Lord has helped and the Lord is my strength. And both of those things, he was helped and he was made strong through his relationship with God. This man was marvelously helped until he was strong intellectually, militarily, economically, and socially. So where are you getting all that? Again, it's found in 2 Chronicles 26, 1 through 14. Let me tell you what's there. Okay, here's what we find about this man's being helped and made strong by the Lord. Uzziah defeated the Philistines. He built bases of operation within the cities of Philistia. So he defeats Israel's enemies. He sets up operating bases in their country. Okay, beyond that, Uzziah defeats the Arabs. He defeats the Ammonites, who then become tributaries to Judah. Uzziah strengthens Judah's defenses. He builds up the walls of Jerusalem, and along those walls, he builds fortified towers. He builds watchtowers in the desert of Judah. He digs many wells. In effect, he makes Israel resource independent. They dig all these wells so that they have a constant source of water, which was a very big deal, and still is today, though we often take it for granted. He digs many wells to give the nation a constant source of water. He has many cattle and many vineyards. He is a very prosperous man. Uzziah had a group of special offensive military forces, mighty men of valor, as they're described, 2,600 men, special forces who were offensive, who would make raids against enemy countries, and sometimes in what you might say preemptive strikes. Okay, those 2,600 special forces men were over Judah's entire fighting force, which numbered 307,500. Well, he has a pretty strong fighting force, and with the help of some inventive, as the scripture describes them, quote, cunning men. He has some cunning men in his cabinet, if you will, his military leaders. And through them, Uzziah is able to arm his military with the most technologically advanced defensive and offensive weaponry of the era. As you read 2 Chronicles 26, you find that they invent engines, not, you know, gas-powered combustion engines, but machinery, war machinery, technologically advanced things that would defend Israel, defend Judah. The help which Uzziah received becomes a worldwide marvel. And the scripture says, quote, that his name spread far abroad. Everybody heard about it. Can you Can you see what's going on in Judah? God is helping that nation. Now they're defeating their enemies. They've become prosperous economically, militarily. They're no longer the tail. They're the head. No longer are they defeated. They're winning victories. We learn something about, again, the Lord's prospering us and the help that God can give us as we seek Him. We learn here that the help of God is not only spiritual, but practical. The Lord helped him. How so? He helped him in very practical ways. And God's help in our lives, yes, it is spiritual, but it goes beyond that. I mean, men, ladies, you need God's help. We need God's help, and God can help us in practical ways in our work. How many of you maybe done some mechanic work or building construction type work? And give me a raise of hands tonight. How many of you men would say there have been specific times where I saw God help me? Anybody like that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Ladies, cooking, right? That's about the best example I can come up with. Forgive me. I know y'all do. Yeah, you ever experienced God's help? We need God's help, and God helps us in practical ways as long as we seek Him. He helps us in our work. He can help us in school. God can help us in practical ways in our service. He can give us wisdom, understanding to take very complicated situations and simplify it and know how to overcome it, things that we could not do with our own strength. He can open our eyes to ways to do things that we'd never figure out on our own. He helps us in very practical ways, and that's how He helps Uzziah. I mean, it's just a marvelous thing. People just stand back and they're like, wow, this is amazing. God's help. God helps us spiritually, but He helps us practically. He helped Uzziah practically, made him prosperous, and God helps us that way. We also are reminded here that the Lord's help is always conditioned upon our seeking Him. Seeking God. Seeking Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Even the practical things, we need to seek God. We need to seek to know God. We need to seek to know His will for our lives personally, and we need to be committed to doing God's will. And so as Christians, we need to commit ourselves, like this man Uzziah did in his earlier years, commit ourselves to seeking the Lord, because then we will have His help, and He will make our way prosperous. And we ought to pray for our nation's leaders that they would do the same. We ought to pray that from the top to the bottom and everywhere in between, that our leaders would seek the Lord. I'm thankful for at least some of the verbal expressions and acknowledgement of the Lord and what we're seeing in the officials that are being elected and going to be going into office. I'm encouraged by that, but let's pray that that thing is real for them. Because guess what? God can help them. He can help our nation just as He did Judah if we'll seek the Lord. And this man does it, and Uzziah does it, and he prospers. Psalm 105 and verse 4 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart." The prospering of Uzziah. And again, in your own time, I would encourage you, read 2 Chronicles chapter 26. It really is an amazing thing what God did in helping King Uzziah. But secondly, and unfortunately, there's this thought, this digression in his life, the pride of Uzziah. 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 15 tells us that as long as he sought the Lord, he prospered and he was marvelously helped until he was strong. His name spread far and abroad. Verse 16, though, says this, But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. I like that. The priests weren't wimps. They were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, "It appertaineth not unto thee, O Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. So he becomes proud. It is a privilege. It is a privilege to be helped and made strong by the Lord. But you and I understand that with every privilege comes a parallel responsibility and temptation. And unfortunately, Uzziah fails in the latter, as we are so apt to do. He receives the privilege, but he doesn't respond well to it. When he becomes strong, when God makes him strong, gives him this marvelous help, Uzziah's heart is lifted up in pride. It leads to his destruction. Instead of continuing to humbly seek the Lord through the Word of God, Uzziah presumes to act as a priest before God, going into the temple of the Lord and offering incense upon the altar, something that was strictly reserved for the Levites. Uzziah's earthly success and his high position as king gave him no right to act as a priest. That again had been reserved for the Levites, and the Lord had warned his people against this very thing. Numbers 18:6, the Lord said, "Behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar." And then the last statement in the verse says this, "And the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death." So God said the Levites are the ones that are to handle everything pertaining to that altar. And if any stranger, someone that's not permitted to enter into that office, if they do that, they're going to be put to death. And so this man Uzziah, in pride, he does exactly what God had warned his people against. He becomes presumptuous. He presumes to act as a priest. He acts in disobedience. Many times this is what happens in our lives when we become proud. We become presumptuous. We get to the place where we think we're above the law, even above God's law of sowing and reaping. And that's what happens here with Uzziah, the pride of Uzziah. And then thirdly, there's the plague of Uzziah. And let's go back to our text in 2 Kings 15, verse 5. It says, "And the Lord smote the king so that he was a leper unto the day of his death and dwelt in a several house." Now there's a lot, as far as this man's life is concerned, there's a lot that takes place between verses 4 and 5. And we read only in 2 Kings 15, you don't get the why as far as this man being smitten as with leprosy. Well, here's what the scripture says in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 19, the very next verse from what we read earlier. "Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar." So in punishment for his presumptuous sin, as well as his proud refusal of correction from the priests, Uzziah is immediately plagued with leprosy. Well, as you read on in that text, this man's becoming a leper not only prevented him from offering incense, he never gets to do that. He never offers incense. The Bible tells us that he himself hasted to go out. The priest said, "Hey, you need to get out of here." And they didn't even have to say anything because he runs out of the house of the Lord. He never gets to offer incense as a priest. But unfortunately, because he becomes a leper, from that point forward, he is never able to even enter the house of the Lord again. Not even as a priest, but not even as a worshiper. The scripture says, quote, "He was cut off from the house of the Lord." Beyond this, Uzziah forfeits the throne. He lives in a several house. That is a house that's cut off from society. He lives, well, as we heard in the COVID situation, he lived socially distanced. He was a leper. He could not dwell among the other people. He lived in a separate house. He's cut off from the house of the Lord, and he forfeits the throne. He lives socially distanced from society, and his son Jotham is placed on the throne of Judah while Uzziah is still living. The plague of Uzziah. And the same God that has power to help and to lift up has power to chasten, to discipline. And what a warning there is here about the danger and consequences of pride. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall." And that is what happens in Uzziah's life. Ecclesiastes 4:13 says, "Better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished." And those priests came in, by the way, and admonished him. And I believe this, that had he immediately yielded and said, "You know what, you're exactly right," and he humbled himself and got out of there, he would not have been smitten with leprosy. But the Bible tells us that he gets angry with the priest. 81 priests resist him. And that's a lot of witnesses. 81, they're like, "You can't do this." But he gets angry, and it's while he is angry that this leprosy rises up within him, and he has this plague. He has to leave the house of the Lord, and he loses even the privilege of serving as king. He's gotten to the place where he will no longer be admonished. As a younger man, he was humble, willing to perhaps be admonished, willing to depend upon the Lord. But he gets older, and he is no longer willing to do that. Folks, we need to be reminded, every one of us tonight, from the youngest to the oldest, we are never too old or too wise to be admonished by the Word of God. And when we get to the place where we think we don't need any further correction, we'll no longer be admonished by the Bible, we are headed for destruction. And that's exactly what happens in this man's life. He started out well, but unfortunately he blows it in his latter years because he becomes proud, presumptuous, and unwilling to be admonished. Now, though to some it may seem to be an oversimplification of the source of Uzziah's downfall, had he maintained his daily, humble, and hungry pursuit of God through the Word of God, the king's heart would not have been lifted up in pride. But he didn't do that. It was his seeking the Lord that led him in an upward trajectory. As long as he sought God, the Lord made him to prosper. But I believe that the man quit seeking the Lord, his heart is lifted up with pride, and it does the opposite. The basic instruction that God gave the kings is found in Deuteronomy 17, verses 18 and following. And this was to apply to every king that was placed on the throne of Israel and Judah. And here's what it says. "And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel." And if we take what happens in this man's life, we'd have to conclude that his heart is lifted up because he quit that humble and hungry pursuit of the Lord, and his days are not prolonged. It was D.L. Moody who said of the Bible, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." If we could make it a little more specific, I believe Uzziah would teach us this principle, that the Bible will keep us from pride, and pride will keep us from the Bible, and pride will lead to our destruction. And the pride, presumption, and plague of Uzziah, along with the downfall of the majority of Israel and Judah's kings, could be traced to their failure to heed the Lord's basic heart instructions for the kings. It gave him a simple plan. You don't multiply horses, silver, gold, whatever, but you're to be in the book all the days of your life. You're to keep that book with you. And as long as you read in there and you take an honest look in God's book, every time you open it, you're going to get a good dose of who you are and where you are with God and where you need to get moving toward. And every time we open God's book, it's like looking in the mirror and we see the blemishes. We see that we have room to grow. And as we do that, it humbles our hearts. We've got to stay humble and stay hungry. And you and I today, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as members of the New Testament, we have been made kings and priests unto God. And certainly that instruction that the Lord gave to those Old Testament kings would apply to us. Lastly, there's the passing of Uzziah. Verse 6 says, "And the rest of the acts of Azariah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Azariah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead." 2 Chronicles 26, verses 22 and 23 say this, "Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, first and last, did Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, write. So Uzziah slept with his fathers, and they buried him with his fathers in the field of the burial, which belonged to the kings. For they said, he is a leper, and Jotham his son reigned in his stead." The passing of Uzziah, after living out the remainder of his years in relative seclusion and isolation as a leper, King Uzziah dies. His body is buried in a separate place in the field that pertained to the kings of Judah. He's buried in the same field, but not in the same mausoleum or sepulcher, you might say, with the kings, because he was a leper. So even in his death, his body is separated from them. But there is this encouraging truth, and you see this, that though his disease kept him from being buried with the kings, in his death, his soul was joined in the presence of his forefathers. He goes to be with them. And that's a comforting truth. When death comes to a child of God, all disease and defilement are left behind, and they enter the presence of just men made perfect. And for the New Testament believer, being absent from the body means being present with the Lord. And that's a blessing for this man. Uzziah went to be with his fathers. His body was buried in a separate place, but he himself was with his forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those godly men, Noah, all those, Adam, you know, and as well as Eve and the ladies, you know, maybe he asked her, why? No, anyhow. But finally, as we read from the book of the Chronicles, it's an interesting note that's given there. Isaiah the prophet was a contemporary with Uzziah, lived at the same time. And the scriptures tell us that he observed and he recorded the rest, that is, all the other acts of Uzziah that are not mentioned in scripture. So Isaiah watches the life and reign of Uzziah from start to finish. He records it all. Okay? He sees it from beginning to end. And by his own testimony, that prophet Isaiah reveals how the death, the passing of this good king who had fallen because of pride impacted Isaiah. And it led a prophet of God to humble himself before the Lord, to recognize his own need, and to commit himself to serving the Lord humbly and faithfully. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 6. I'd like to read a few verses from there. Isaiah 6 and verse 1 says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, with twain he did fly, and one cried to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And what was Isaiah's response? Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean, unclean, unclean lips, and that dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. You think you ever heard King Uzziah say that? That was what the lepers were required to say as they were in anyone's presence. If anybody got near, they were to cover their mouths and say, unclean, unclean, don't get near me. I am defiled. I am diseased. And when that man passes, having witnessed that, Isaiah gets his eyes back on the Lord. He recognizes that God is holy, that He is the King of Kings. And Isaiah gets a full dose of where he was with God, and he repents, and his message changes. You study Isaiah chapters 1 through 5, and you find that Isaiah's message was filled with this: woe unto you! Woe unto you! Woe unto them! Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put righteousness for unrighteousness. But all of a sudden his message changes, and all of a sudden now he's come to the humble realization of woe is me. And at this point, the Lord cleanses him of his sin as he confesses it. He says, I'm unclean. I'm the man of unclean lips. By the way, I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. The Lord says, this living coal, a picture of Jesus Christ, touches his lips. His iniquity is taken away, and all of a sudden his ears are opened up to hear the voice of the Lord. And he hears the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who shall go for us? And he responds positively. He says, here am I, send me. And the Lord says, go. Go and tell this people. Isaiah says, how long? The Lord says, you keep going till there's nobody left, until there's a great forsaking in the midst of the land, the people are carried away. There's going to be not a national revival, but a national removal. And Isaiah is to keep on preaching. The passing of Uzziah impacted Isaiah. He saw how a man who had done so well in seeking God and serving the Lord's will, seeking God's will, not his own will, and how in pride he rejected God's will and started to presume to do his own will. I'm going to be a priest. Uzziah does that, and he is judged. But Isaiah learned a good positive lesson. And like Isaiah, you and I ought to learn tonight from Uzziah's downfall. We ought to learn to seek the Lord and beware of the danger of pride. Instead of being lifted up with pride, instead of presuming to do our own will and consequently experiencing a downfall, let's humbly seek God's word, seek God through his word, so that we might have his help and his strength. Lord, we thank you for preserving for us the testimony of this man, Uzziah. We thank you that your word is true. As we were reminded in Sunday school this morning, had we written the scriptures, we would have perhaps included the positive things, left out the negative. But Lord, you've recorded us in the collective testimony of scripture, the positive and negative aspects of this man, Uzziah's life. Thank you for the positive things we can learn from him, that if we'll seek you, God, that you will indeed make us to prosper. But I pray that you'd help us to be warned, to take admonishment tonight, to walk humbly before you, God, to seek your face and not to experience a downfall. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question. Have you humbled yourself and come to God as a repentant sinner, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord? Have you come to that place in your life? Have you been saved? Have you recognized that you're a sinner, that you need God's grace and forgiveness? How many in the house tonight would say, preacher, that work of grace has been done in my life. I've responded to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I've acknowledged, yes, I'm a sinner. I've repented of my sins, and I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord. I know that I'm saved tonight. I know that I'm God's child. If that's your testimony, would you acknowledge that by just quietly raising your hand? You'd say, yes, I'm trusting Christ. I've been saved. Amen. If you've never done that, I would invite you right now, just humble yourself before God. Invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. Christian, are you staying humble and staying hungry before the Lord? Are you reading God's Word every day, placing yourself in front of the mirror of God's Word each day so that you can see where you are spiritually, so God can show you where you need to be and where to go spiritually? Are you fully surrendered to do God's will and not presuming to do your own will? Are you letting Him be Lord and King in your life, or have you begun to mark out your own path and way before God? Maybe tonight you need to humble yourself as Isaiah did and recommit yourself to humbly serving and seeking the Lord. Let's not let the passing of Uzziah be in vain as far as our lives are concerned. Let's be positively impacted by it, to seek the Lord, to stay humble before Him. Lord, thank You for Your Word tonight. I pray that it might be a real help to each one of us. I pray that You, by Your Spirit, would bring these principles to mind continually, and that You'd give us grace, Lord, just to walk humbly with our God. Help us, Lord. We need You. Forgive us of our pride and presumption, Lord. So many times we try to do things on our own. We try to go in our own strength. Help us this week to be seeking You with our whole heart. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our songbook.